The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by
CTV News with Ken Shaw and Michelle Dubay.
Good afternoon. Mayor Rob Ford has wrestled with some very public problems and stayed in the political ring.
Well, his latest challenge is when he gladly took on a match with the legend of professional wrestling. CTV's Natalie Johnson has the story.
The Hulkster himself emerged fired up to face Ford, the man with the muscles, set for a match against the mayor. Their sleeves rolled up, they got their grip, and the heavyweights gave it all they got.
Oh, that's all you got, huh? Oh, brother, you know something? Not only am I going to rip this arm off, I'm going to take your job out of it, brother.
And then, just like that, Rob Ford, mayor of Toronto, victorious.
That was a setup.
Not so, said the mayor.
I never back down, and I never will. So it's all in the wrist. It's not in the forearm. It's in the wrist.
I tore my shoulder out. I may have to go straight to the hospital after that.
And so Hulk Hogan heads home defeated. Ford told him he owned this town and then went on to prove it.
If he gets tired of being the mayor, he'd be a great wrestler.
Turns out Rob Ford's got power beyond politics. Toronto's mayor has got muscle.
The hell did I just listen to?
I'm surprised he put someone over.
It wasn't a wrestler, so obviously he will put them over. But actually, I just need to bring it down a little south. Though we encompass Canada, as part of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and my apologies for not being here over the recent weeks because of the actions of my dear Uncle Paul, who is now suffering terribly with a broken arm. So let me introduce the panel. You have already heard his voice, so I might actually introduce him first. That's Forth.
I'm not sure what got more anger on the internet. Randy Orton is champion or Ben Affleck is Batman?
That's a coin flip. I could ask that of our other sports statistician, VRM.
Oh God, you're right, Nicky. It reeks in here. Ugh.
So I'm gonna have to
a bitch.
I'm gonna have to have Tom spray this place down when he gets back. And to our resident wrestler, Gene fucking Aguilera.
Did you just say Ben Affleck is Batman?
Yep. Yes, and allow me to respond in kind.
No. 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 God damn it.
Do I have
Was it Daredevil enough for you?
Do I have to go open my soundboard for some sound bites?
God fucking damn it.
Here, just allow me.
Jesus. Why won't Ben Affleck just leave superheroes alone?
Because he will never be one. No matter how much the camera likes him.
God damn it. I was starting to respect you because The Town was actually a good movie.
But, yeah, the number of people who actually approved of the Ben Affleck decision.
I'm thinking of a number between one and no.
So let us step away from the movies and into the wrestling. We had a pay-per-view last week. SummerSlam.
I bought it.
I paid real money. I actually got home in time after I had taken care of business. Uncle Paul had warned me ahead of time about the rule change. So I actually had a chance to drop by some friends in Indianapolis. I was home with exactly 1 hour's time to prepare a proper meal and then settle in to watch what was a very well put together SummerSlam. Fourth, even the pre-show people would have paid for.
Heck, I'm honestly surprised he didn't put that on the main card. That was an awesome match.
Well, you need to dangle. You got to dangle a big enough carrot to get people to buy it. But RVD versus Dean Ambrose, I said, shut up and take my money. VRM, what'd you think?
Yeah, it was a good match and a little predictable on the ending. But Rob didn't really need the belt. If he's got bigger aspirations, we'll get to later.
Yeah, we'll get to that because something with Zen Meister is hurting my brain. The main show. I mean, I did not feel that the show had slowed down anywhere. I thought all the matches were well put together.
The Ring of Fire match, that was a damn good until
finish.
Yeah. I mean,
terrible? I think you misspoke. I think you meant to say genius.
I just wish they had had the camera. Surreal is a good word.
Finish.
Surreal is a good word for it. I just wish they had the cameras better on Wyatt's boys when they were beating up the firemen for the blanket. Because it felt out of nowhere. I mean, I liked the comedy. Yeah. I liked the comedy of them trying to get in and the flames jumping up. One of them swinging a Singapore cane and setting that on fire. You know, I dug all that. So, you know, I was satisfied. We all knew, most of us said that Wyatt was going to take care of business. But what's he going to do with Kane?
I don't know, but, I mean, for anybody who expected anything more out of this, I mean, come on, guys. It's not even about being PG. It's about nobody really wants to see a match where the object is to set somebody on fire.
And after MVP having to spend a couple of weeks on the shelf with third-degree burns on his ass, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they already patch up interrupt matches just to patch up people who start bleeding, what the hell makes you think they're going to start setting people on fire again?
Well, they haven't stopped a match in a while for blood.
That's a little weird.
No, I understand now because I think, you know, the one thing that you will see is that the refs will go ahead and put on the latex gloves just in case. I mean, even the Divas matches, the Diva match wasn't bad. I'm happy that Natalya won. For once, I'm happy to be wrong. Ziggy pinned Big E. I called it. Rhodes Sandow. VRM, is that a show? Was that a show stealer?
It was a damn good one. I was surprised when Cody walked out sans stash.
Which, according to one of the internet shows, Wade Barrett decided to continue his career as a barber. You'll have to look up the JBL and Cole show. I didn't watch it.
So, so much for Groom for Greatness then?
Well, no, just Rhodes is going to have to think of something else for his t-shirts.
That's a shame. It was a catchy slogan.
Let's see. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I'm hoping for Barrett's sake that Vince doesn't think to give him the Brutus Beefcake gimmick.
I doubt it. Although, he'd look very menacing with a pair of garden shears.
Yeah. That would actually be scary.
Not
to mention, like, tassels on his arms.
No, you're thinking of the Matadores, which...
No. I'm pretty sure that Beefcake sported tassels.
Mm. I thought you were making an obtuse reference to Primo and Epico's poorly newly packaged gimmick. Let's see.
That is Punk... like 10 shades of racist, by the way.
It's just... No, actually, I'm just going to press the button.
Wrong!
And it wasn't aimed at you this time, Gene.
I mean, Matadors? The fuck is this, 1985?
Puerto Rican Matadors, no less.
Somewhere Tito Santana's got his head in his hands. To make things a little bit better, the Del Rio Christian match, while I wasn't keen on the outcome, it wasn't bad.
It was an okay match. It wasn't terrible. I've enjoyed it more than I've enjoyed most of Del Rio's matches.
And...
But that's probably because Christian was there.
Well, and Christian can make a lot of matches better.
Indeed.
Although I don't think he could have done anything to make the Best versus the Beast match any more stiff.
That isn't a stiff is an understatement.
That was brilliant. It was just so much fun to watch these two kick the ever-loving shit out of each other.
Yeah, it was 20, stiff on the borderline of worked shoot.
20 to 25 minutes of Lesnar and Punk beating the motherfuck out of each other all over the Staples Center.
I was going to say, if it weren't for who was in the main event, I would have said to them, follow that.
Oh, yeah. That was going to be a tough act to follow, but... But it wasn't that hard just because it was face-face, and one of these faces everybody chases.
Yes! Actually, yes! 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 Yes!
Actually, going back to Lesnar versus Punk for a second, you guys notice this? Lesnar is undefeated at SummerSlam.
Well, at least in the second one, I think he lost to Angle at the 03 SummerSlam, didn't he?
Anybody want to look that up for me real quick?
On it.
Checking.
SummerSlam, that's 2013. Just swap out the zero. SummerSlam, 2003. Yes! Kurt Angle beat Brock Lesnar.
So, Gene. Oh.
Wrong!
God damn it. Okay, but he's won where it counted.
That's true.
Not really, because that was a WWE Championship match.
Right, but, I mean, he was just going to win it again a few months later anyway.
A month later, the Iron Man on SmackDown.
Right. So, a few weeks later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Lesnar has won back-to-back against Triple H and Punk. I'm kind of seeing a title program with Lesnar in the future if they have nothing else to do with him.
Well, if he's got enough dates, I think they're gonna try to dangle the belt in his general direction.
Honestly, I'm kind of disappointed in the Best versus the Beast, at least in the ending, just okay. Because did I mean what can they do to follow that besides maybe putting Punk against Axel?
Iron Man.
Uh-oh. VRM remembered. VRM remembered. Now you're going to be insufferable for the rest of the night.
No, chat room. They're not going to settle this as a B-level pay-per-view.
Gene, let me explain.
No, I'm talking to the chat room. You said that.
No, explaining me an Iron Man.
No, I was referring to the chat room saying that it's probably going to be at Hell in a Cell. No, they're not going to book Punk versus Lesnar, the rubber match, at a B-level pay-per-view.
No, I think what we're looking at is at some, even if there wasn't a belt involved, VRM wants Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk in an Iron Man match.
I might have to switch out Bryan
for
Lesnar. You might want to switch out Bryan for Lesnar, because
yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Our resident beard master here will probably be very busy for the next few months. Nikki, take it away.
Oh, well, sorry, just the Iron Man got stuck in my head.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh!
Okay. Main event time. Our heroic champion, John Cena. I can't say it with a straight face.
You know what? You know what?
What?
Kudos to John Cena. There, I said it. John Cena did good on
Sunday. Wrestled with a torn tricep.
And not even just that. He actually wrestled.
Yes, well, he did that on purpose. Some of the moves in this match were a tribute to when the two of them wrestled on Velocity 10 plus years ago.
I thought that was a great callback and a nice little middle finger to all the smarks saying, "You can't wrestle.
He don't have to."
You know, that's just the thing, guys. He can. He just doesn't have to. It's the same thing as when Hogan was champion. I mean,
he didn't have to wrestle, but we know we could at one point because there's this one match in Japan.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan doing a fucking enziguri. Look it up.
Before we move on about the match, I do want to say it was awesome to think about the fact that 10 years ago they were on Velocity trying to make names for themselves, and here they are now headlining one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year.
And I would have paid Mania money for a microphone in the ring while the two of them were probably joking about this during the match. But no, it was a spectacular match. I mean, the two of them had a blast with this match and blew the roof off the Staples Center when Daniel Bryan beat Cena.
Without a finisher.
Exactly.
Let's just put this in perspective. Not even Bryan Danielson, who was once the king of the indie circuit after CM Punk left for the E, was for that moment the WWE champion by way of defeating, without interference, without any sort of controversy in the finish at all, John Cena.
Bryan beat Cena clean as a whistle.
There's not even there's not even the possible doubt, like when Punk beat Cena at Money in the Bank, and like, oh, if, you know, Vince and Johnny Ace didn't come into the ring, things might have ended differently. No. No excuses. One Busaiku to the face, and Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, whatever the hell you want to call him, was WWE champion.
And then things got a little screwy. Because
Mr. Baby Oil himself arrived.
You're getting ahead of yourself, Gene. We forget that the Evil Doc was the referee in this match. And in a strange twist of continuity, he took a moment, raised Danielson's hand, then set the IWC on fire when he pedigreed him.
Actually, that's getting
that
ahead
was
of
after, me. That, no, that, now you're getting ahead because Orton was out first.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Orton came out to tease with the briefcase. Bryan was distracted. Then, while Bryan's distracted, Trips grabs him by the shoulder, wheels him around, boot to the midsection, pedigree.
And it was burying time.
As he
or
stood
so
up,
the IWC would like to think.
Yes. He stood up and brushed himself off.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
And waved Randy down to the ring to claim what probably shouldn't be his, but...
You didn't have to admit it, Trips. We knew.
Guys, I'm going to blow all of your minds right now. I'm not mad.
Neither am I, actually.
Me neither. I don't think anybody in the group was really mad with the way with the result.
I mean, you know, I don't like that Orton is champion again, but that's just because I don't like Orton. I don't hate it because it means that now we get to see Brian chase after Orton. And it was inevitable that this would happen because Cena was injured and he needed to take a break, and their feud was already getting a lot of heat with the crowd, so they figure, why not put the title there?
This satisfies parties on all sides. This gives Brian a money feud. Orton a heel turn that he's been begging for months.
Because Cena, nobody really buys Orton as a face.
Every shrieking fangirl in the stands would disagree with you, sir.
Yeah, but they would shriek
for
him even if he was a heel, they'd shriek for him.
That's true.
I don't know why, because he's greasy as shit, but...
Because fangirls.
I mean, I could understand why they would hit on John Cena. You know, he's the all-American guy, square jaw, big-ass muscles, whatever.
Gene, it's fangirls. There is no reasoning.
Damn, there's no way to discuss why they like weirdos. They just do.
And, you know, the only thing I worry about with the man ring is that it'll need a periodic cleaning.
Baby oil!
Man, first the briefcase, now the title. We're going to have to buy stock in water just to keep the belt from smelling like Johnson & Johnson.
I'll tell you what. Apparently, this is why David Otunga hasn't been getting any screen time. He had to donate all of it back to Orton for this push.
I'm just glad the backing on that belt isn't made of suede.
Ew.
Speaking of Johnson & Johnson, that's what I suggested the nameplates read. Since WWE is hankering for sponsorships, forget the Snake RKO logo. Just put Johnson & Johnson on there.
Actually, no. Thank you for reminding me. This is part of the segue. Miz was the host for SummerSlam, and just couldn't get a word in edgewise when he was getting random Fandango is random. 3 times in this pay-per-view?
Yeah. And once in the pre-show, I think.
I don't remember if it was in the pre-show, but I do remember
it was at the very beginning. I will say that. It was like
the top of the show. Yeah, and Miz was incredulous, and I couldn't stop laughing. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And it's go ahead, Gene.
For once, I was actually being entertained by a Miz segment.
That's because Fandango was in it, right, Forth?
Yes. Double points for Summer Rae's involvement.
Aha. So.
And as the crowd proved in L.A., Fandangoing is still very much a thing.
Why, yes. Yes, it is.
Da-da. Da-da. Da-da-da-da. Okay, maybe I'm wasting time.
You're not. Don't worry about it. So dust settles, and we have the pick. I have the pick 'em results handy. Fourth, I'm sorry.
Heck, when it came to the cashing in, I was just hoping against hope.
Well, you scored your name.
We
knew Orton was going to win. Yeah, there was no doubt.
So, but yes, fourth goes all the way to the bottom of the pile. Stat Boy, Muckamuck, VRM, Gene, you guys are pony piled second to the bottom at 5.
I lost my belt for now. But next time! Yeah, that's right, next time.
Well, you're going to have to get in line, because I, along with Jim, Jason, Ethan, Trista... Trista actually picked? Wait a minute.
Wait, Trista picked?
Well.
I'm lost here.
The only other female of the North American Wrestling Connection who normally doesn't do pick-ems actually turned in picks.
We have another female member of the NAWC?
Yes, and I'm trying to protect her from you.
Hey, come on! I'm not a creeper. Do I look like Jim to you?
Uh-oh.
That depends. Pony.
Ponies. Well, let's see. We can make the comparison right away.
Pony.
As opposed to?
Ponies.
I don't know, guys. Anyway, but despite our efforts, myself, Jim, Jason, Ethan, Trista, Shane Beeman, and Waters did not win. We are all holding silver medals. However, the Fizzleweight belt still has to be shared for our new co-champions for SummerSlam, Brian Henniger and DJ Pekins. Neither of which are here, so I will keep the belt warm until they can come back on the show.
Hey. You weren't the champion last time. I was. I keep it warm. Give me that.
No. I beg your pardon, sir. This is my show.
Yes, but I'm the champion.
Oh, boy.
Actually, then let me just pass it over here.
I'm the world champ, you know. I bet you can't beat me.
That's the last show I did.
With the squee.
So, with that wonderful show out of the way, we move on to Monday night, where Cena bid us farewell for, he said, 3 to 4 months. I think that translates into
2 to 3.
Yeah.
Two at the most.
While he goes and gets his tricep reattached and his elbow drained.
Either way, it looks like he's sitting out the rest of 2013.
That's fine. He's going to do another holy shit at Cena, oh shit at Cena at the Rumble next year then.
Why the fuck not?
It's been, what was it? It'll only be six.
It's only 6 years. And we still got to make room for Sheamus when he comes back. And there's somebody else on the shelf that should be coming back at the first of the year.
Evan Bourne?
He should have been back by now anyway.
Did he get another weed charge?
If he did, it's strike three.
Yeah,
no, they don't. Okay. They only fine you for weed. Oh. At least as long as it's real weed. And Rob, don't even. Anyway, we get to Monday night. Cena Suarez out. Daniel Bryan wanted to discuss, you know, his position, and was interrupted by Stephanie McMahon.
Hey, look, it's Nipple H. Thank you, WrestleCraft.
It wasn't so much what she said to Bryan.
No, it's kind of what she said.
No, it was what she said and how she said it. You see, she spoke a completely different language to Bryan.
Yes. The language that everyone here hates.
She spoke corporate. People thought I would be mad about SummerSlam. No.
It's not SummerSlam.
No, absolutely not.
Jesus!
I hate that language. I speak it fluently. I understand it. But you don't speak it. Although it's kind of a semi-shoot VRM, the fact that, you know, she's saying all the things that we expect to hear out of Vince or Triple H when it comes to what makes a wrestler.
You know what, though? as much as that's true, it's at least played in a way that it's like, oh, it's not true, she's just being a bitch, as opposed to Dixie Carter gathering all her wrestlers and
See, at least here, it's work. It's a work. Dixie is just being stupid.
And it's, you know, so to this I say, Stephanie, thank you. You've pissed me off. You've done your job.
Now get the fuck out.
No. Well, I can't. I don't want to kick her out, although I wouldn't mind having her position on television before anybody else gets any ideas. But the fact that Stephanie
speaks...
Do you
want to be Hunter's wife?
No.
I don't think
Evil Boss would be interested in the likes of me.
I don't think Paul would like Triple H being a part of his family.
No. That would turn into an enormous conflict of interest. So, no, thank you. It'd be a fun chase, but no, I could not do that to my family.
Well, no, it's more because, you know, of the last time your uncle dealt with the evil doctor.
It's never pretty. It never is. But yes, Stephanie was speaking corporate. Triple H spoke some corporate. Brad freaking Maddox was speaking corporate.
Brad freaking Maddox was throwing everyone under the corporate bus.
Because he has a corporate hammer named The Shield.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was expecting Maddox to put a concession guy against The Shield.
So what happened to The Shield being the Renegade Hounds of Justice?
Yeah, when did The Shield turn into a legitimate threat of a mean street posse?
The moment Triple H called them Shield guys.
You know what it is now? They're a three-man version of Ray Traylor. They're basically Team Big Boss Man.
I'm going to guess that's why Ambrose stopped wearing the tack vests, because I'd imagine he'd have to hate the Boss Man comparisons.
Well, I think they went corporate because their renegade shtick was getting cheers. They had to keep these guys heel.
And also money.
Oh, I'm sure money spoke. I'm sure a lot of money spoke.
Well, it influenced them to take up your uncle's on his offer.
Yes, but unfortunately, my uncle only has so much money.
No, and he doesn't have Vince McMahon money.
Precisely, and that's why The Shield is now corporate. So, you know, I'm okay. I'm also okay with this. I really am.
You know what, though? We can't even call them The Shield now that they're corporate. No. Now, we need a new name. I move that we now call them The Bailout.
Yes.
Actually, I was just going to call them Team Cerberus just so they could keep selling those three-headed dog, the Cerberus t-shirts they have. Guardians of the Gates of Hell, which is that of a corporate office! Anyway.
Stamford, Connecticut is now hell.
Now?
I was going to say, apart from that WWE tower...
Well, it used to be Orlando.
I was going to say, I don't know if I'd say that. That would be an insult to hell.
So...
If anybody else watched Supernatural, does anybody remember that Crowley... when Crowley said, "This isn't Wall Street, this is hell. We have lived with something called integrity."
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. But this, you know, people are going to want, number threes are whining and bitching and moaning and complaining that Brian didn't get his win and didn't get to celebrate, didn't get his victory thing. Well, they kind of piled all that in at the pay-per-view.
Once again, beat Cena clean.
Thank you.
What the fuck more do you want? The only thing that would put him even more over is that if they haven't break the damn streak.
Which will never happen.
No.
No, it won't.
That's not going to happen.
No, never.
But we've
talked about this, but I want the number threes to think about this. Now that Brian is chasing Orton for the title, think about this. If Brian wins at, say, Survivor Series.
Stop right there.
Yes.
You just said the magic words. Brian beats Orton at Survivor Series. Survivor Series is Orton's pay-per-view.
That's true.
It is. He changed his name at least twice.
And I've had a few cans thrown from the Survivor Series I attended that he won.
But think about that for a second. If Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, whatever, if he beats Orton for the WWE title at Survivor Series, he will have beaten the WWE's two top dogs the same year, the same belt, at two of the big four. He couldn't be more pushed if they shove the fucking rocket up his ass.
Too late. It's already there. Because, yeah. I mean, entire.
This is a. He is he might not have the belt, but he is being pushed to not just the moon. He's being pushed all the way to the sun at this point.
Exactly. He's got the momentum of, you know, everybody is behind him now because they see that not only does he have to deal with Orton, who has decided to cash in on an opportunity. Orton claims he didn't know Hunter was going to do that.
Which is bullshit, because we already...
Go ahead.
No, continue. No, but we already knew that Orton knew, because if anybody remembers the past SummerSlam, just try to control your frothing fanboy rage at the moment. So Orton walks out, holds the briefcase up, starts to walk away, and then looks back. That there's no reason for him to have to do that unless he knew what was going to happen. He was just waiting for Hunter to deliver the finishing blow.
Could be coincidence, and I can hear the number threes now. Hunter was going to do that anyway, whether Orton was out there or not.
Yeah, but why? It's not like Hunter can compete for the WWE title now.
Don't give him ideas.
No,
he's the effing boss. He wants the title. He can pull a Vince McMahon.
But I get the feeling that the Lesnar showdown at Extreme Rules was pretty much his swan song, because I don't see him doing pretty much anything else. Unless, maybe if it's like, I don't know, if he gets frustrated enough, it's like, you know what? I'll try to take the belt from Danielson myself, and then he puts Brian over.
Okay, if that happens at WrestleMania this year, or next year rather, that would actually be awesome.
If that doesn't make the fanboys cream their pants, I don't know what will.
Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk in an Iron Man match at WrestleMania 30. VRM, if you need a minute. So, let's see. We mentioned earlier about Random Fandango is random, and having him interrupt the on-air commercials, that is a winning gimmick. WWE, please do continue with that.
Fandango for champion
of advertising.
Actually, I'm surprised that they haven't put a belt on him yet.
They're going to tease it a little bit longer. They just need to find. Let's see. The problem is that he is technically heel, and both B-belt champions right now are heels, so that won't work. Summer Rae can wrestle, but I don't think they would put them up against the Shield. Again, heels. Our top champions are all heels, so Fandango really doesn't have any place to go just yet.
No, it's coming. Somebody would have to take the title, the Intercontinental title from Axel. Because I don't see the, I don't see them taking the U.S. title off Ambrose anytime soon.
No, there's no need. It's in a very nice, it's in a very good place.
That it's in might a place just... that's actually giving it prestige for once.
Oh, I thought it was just my bias.
No, I am a big fan of Dean Ambrose.
I've had the pleasure of actually working a couple of shows with him.
Yeah, he just sounds like a trip to hang around with.
His insanity that you see in the ring, half of that is not an act. He really is that batshit.
I figured.
So.
But moving on.
Yes, let's move on. We had a. We did have. You know, we have one for the injury report. Sin Cara broke his pointing finger. I mean, no, he broke a finger. We thought he. I thought he dislocated his wrist or something, or broke
his
hand.
So did I. So that was legit.
That apparently it was. I heard on SmackDown it was a dislocated finger. Sin Cara did post a couple of pictures of his hand wrapped up. So that was legit.
I will say this though. Okay. It's unfortunate that he got the injury, but. You know, I don't want to sound insensitive. I really don't.
But you're from New York, man. You can't help it. Go on.
Fine. Fuck it. As a wrestler in training, that is, you know, if you any injury you get, you know, you just got to roll with it and just finish the match. If I am not trying to diss Sin Cara in any fashion. I'm not. I'm just saying. That stopping the match because you broke your finger or dislocated your finger, it just kind of makes you look weak.
I remember Brett popped his finger back into place during a match.
I remember Brett once breaking all of his ribs in a match against Dino Bravo because of a botched guardrail spot. And he still finished the match.
Well, and both of Hunter's infamous quad tears. You know, say what you want about the doc, but the second time he wanted to keep going.
The first time he allowed himself to be put in the fucking walls.
And the second time he tried to wave off the ref sex. Dumbass. But they filled the segment nicely as Del Rio was going to brag and outstrides Ricardo. Who we discovered is not only a good announcer, but he's got a good set of promo skills.
Yeah, that was. I was pleasantly surprised by that promo.
I was surprised, and then they really, really hurt my brain.
I think they hurt a lot of brains.
I mean, seriously, this is how it felt.
Oatmeal, are you crazy?
It hurt my brain.
To be honest,
go ahead.
I kind of see it.
I'm gonna have to use your lingo here. What the fuck does RVD need with a manager or an announcer?
I don't know. No. See, it works both ways. RVD gets to teach him how to skate past all the weed regulations. And, you know, Ricardo in turn could be Hispanic Fonzie.
See, I thought you were going to say the enemy of their enemy is their friend. So that's why they align. But that actually makes more sense.
All I have to say is, dude... I see your point, Gene. I see your point forth, but Ricardo needs to go beat up Titus O'Neil and try to steal his whistle. If he's going to do this, he's got to do it right. uh, Oh my goodness! It still hurts my brain. They showed us again on SmackDown after Del Rio defeated Christian, where Ricardo came out and made fun of Del Rio and introduced RVD, and it just, my brain hurts. It just, you know, I don't know why. I don't know how to feel about it, VRM. I really don't.
It's.
It makes sense. If anybody has good connects, it's Van Damme. even your uncle knows that, Nikki.
Yeah. And don't call me Vicky.
Oh, God.
Look, it was a botch. Shit happens.
Matthew, are you listening? Anyway, let's see what the GM has to say. While there was quite a bit of talking on Raw, it was interesting of something that wasn't said. The fact that Darren Young came out as detailed on last week's show, but they're not using it as a gimmick on air. 10 years ago, Darren would be fucking doomed.
Now he's being pushed.
Now he's a hero, and it's turned the primetime player's face.
And you know what? You know what? On a personal note, kudos to Darren Young, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, it takes a lot of balls to be able to come out in this business.
And
especially being like the first person in WWE to just flat out admit he was gay.
Right. Aside from, because we, you know, Pat Patterson's never admitted anything.
No, we know what side of the road Pat Patterson walks.
And somewhere, Chris Kanyon is celebrating the fact that, you know, Darren Young is not being run out on a rail.
Well, I don't think he's celebrating. I don't think he's celebrating anything, Nikki. He's dead.
I know he's dead, but that doesn't mean he can't watch.
I mean, if I was dead, I wouldn't be celebrating shit. I'd be wondering why you people haven't buried me with my stuff.
Oh, he said buried, didn't he? He said buried, didn't he? So someday you will have the honor.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
It's burying time.
I'm surprised no one has ever made an image of Hunter next to the Undertaker with the caption, "You say the Undertaker, but I'm burying."
You know what? I am surprised that Hunter never brought out a shovel against Taker.
No, but somebody made a gif out of Hunter during a Buried Alive match. And in WWE 2K13, somebody did somebody crossed the Tons of Funk entrance with Triple H so he could do a burying motion on the way to the ring. So wrong.
That shit is hilarious.
Okay, it's out there. Go look for it.
Google it over a break.
Whatever the opposite of boo this man is, give it to that person.
Don't mind if I do. Let's see. Oops, no, don't do that. I thought it was appropriate. But yes, we do need a moment to compose ourselves and go find that image. So let me get some commercials running in here, and we will be back in a few minutes with more news.
many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Work online, on demand, and on the go.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with VRM, Gene fucking Aguilera, and forth. We have, you know, I have some WrestleMania 30 rumblings that I needed to pass along. Goldberg, of all people, may or may not have been approached, creditraja.com.
Damn it.
Sorry, had to be done.
No. I wanted to do it. The second I heard you say may or may not, I was like, oh, I can do it then. Damn it. You already did it.
But he is admitting by denying. So this is a real possibility. VRM, it's a money match. If they can make it happen. Goldberg versus Ryback.
And the comparisons will finally be put to rest.
I don't know, really. I mean, I remember the last Goldberg match at WrestleMania.
Well, that was because they were both on their way out, and the only way anyone was getting over was if they were named Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Right, but at the same time, will Bill Goldberg be really motivated to put himself and Ryback over at Mania for just one night?
If the money's there.
And if the Hall of Fame is there.
Yeah. And I would hope, you know, I'd hope they would be able to work something out, because I would pay good money to see Goldberg versus Ryback. Just for the surreality of these two facing each other.
I would, because I feel very few wrestlers don't deserve, if they are ever at WrestleMania, that I feel that they don't deserve to have a terrible Mania moment.
No, I agree. I mean, the fact that, you know, Lesnar and Goldberg got, you know, booed the hell out of New York City, never mind the Garden. But that's kind of on them for their decisions at the time.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, your uncle's client is still not welcome in this city.
But he will be there. You have been warned. And depending
Come at me,
on,
bro.
Depending on what we can arrange, if you New York people are not interested in seeing Brock Lesnar in action, perhaps our next WrestleMania will be razzing you from Philadelphia.
But before we go into that, you said it wrong. It's Brock Lesnar.
Yes, but I value my voice.
I was going to say, I'm not sure which voice-destroying name is more awesome from Paul, Brock Lesnar or Curtis Axel.
It's the same inflection, so. But let's see. Where else was I going to go? Oh. Okay. Orton winning the belt didn't piss me off. Stephanie being corporate pissed me off. Random Fandango is random did not piss me off. In fact, I was very entertained by this. PWI pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
We still read that?
Well, some people still put a little bit of stock in the PWI 500.
Isn't that for Marks?
Well, apparently whoever writes this watches a lot of WWE. And I could have sworn I saved this page. The 500 was released. And guess who's at the top of the pile?
Fair to say it's if it's a spoiler to reveal their name?
Usually, yes.
And I think I know.
Because why not? Why the fuck not?
Of course
not. Actually, you know what? That's not even sarcastic. It's like, who even reads PWI?
I'll admit I haven't read it in a long time.
I haven't read it since I was 13. So,
but let me see if I can find this page again. Because I had... Whoops. That's what I get for...
Wasn't it on the thread? On the group?
Let me go look. Because, yes, indeed. While Cena is on his, you know, is having a nice vacation while he gets his arm put back together. He is the first wrestler to ever top the PWI 500 three times. Go ahead.
I was going to say that actually does feel like quite an accomplishment.
So, let's see. Oh, as the chat room sends me an article that I'm not going to read, the 10 worst things about this year's PWI 500, and the first picture you see is Cena. So is that 1 through 10? Mainly because I'm more irritated just because of who's standing at number 2.
All right, fuck you.
Yeah, you two trade places.
You know, it's kind of ironic. It was only a year ago that Punk was like... Yeah, it was 2 years ago during the episode of Jimmy Kimmel Live where Punk said, I'm the best in the world. John Cena's a distant number 2. How the mighty have fallen, according to PWI Reader. And I no, that wasn't a misspeaking. PWI Reader.
Stop the presses. Guys, my jaw's on the floor. Breaking news from WrestleChat.net. Brett Clandaniel, thank you so much. The change in the Punk Lesnar SummerSlam match was made last week before the pay-per-view. So apparently Punk was supposed to win. This could be because The Undertaker has agreed to work Lesnar at 30.
Okay, damn at it. This point, I think I might want to keep an eye on how much money I give them.
Ow! 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 Ow!
Stop reaching for your wallet, VRM.
I
had to slap myself to make sure I wasn't dreaming with this.
I'm not sure how I feel about this, honestly.
And now I've successfully slapped a taste out of my mouth.
I mean,
I didn't think we were ever going to get this. I honestly, you know, this was something that you could only do in the video games.
Yeah, Waters, you say that, but I mean, they built that same angle with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25.
Oh, crap. Now I've got No Mercy 02 in my head.
Let's focus on how good the cell match was and not on how terrible the angle around it was.
No, I didn't have a problem with the angle. I didn't have a problem with the finish. I had a problem with The Undertaker looking like Hamburger after the match was over.
Yeah, that was really brutal.
Wait, you didn't have a problem with the angle?
Nah. Just for what they did at the beginning of the pay-per-view with Taker sitting there looking at his cast and Kane coming in and having a seat.
And so, like, how was your week?
The Undertaker looks like he was about to hit him with the cast. I'd pay, you know, I'm sorry, it was worth it for just that moment alone.
You know what, though? I'd rather have had my hand broken than have to have taken any part in Kane's angle.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
But at that particular match, Lesnar-Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, Undertaker shattered the Mudometer.
Which was then shattered by the bloodbath at Judgment Day 2004.
Eddie?
Yeah, yep. And Bradshaw.
Yeah, okay. But yeah. So if Undertaker is willing to work Lesnar, good luck with that. I'm that makes me nervous because Lesnar is freakishly strong, and sometimes he forgets how strong he is.
In other words, he's a stiff son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But then again, so is Taker when the time calls for it.
Fourth, you were going to say?
I was going to say, it did bring me back to why the big reason was that Punk was Taker's opponent this year. Just all the hip From problems Punk? And the knee problems that he needs someone to be able to protect him better.
And that's my fear.
From Punk to Brock Lesnar, it's kind of like going from steak to, I don't know, White Castle. I kid, but
no,
seriously,
no.
Though.
In this case, it went from steak to a live bull.
I mean, seriously. I mean, Lesnar, I don't have as much of a problem with you as my buddy Jason does, but you're a stiff son of a bitch, and I don't think you know how stiff you can be.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Just ask Randy Couture.
Actually, I was gonna say ask the remains of Frank Mir.
Yeah, that's true too.
And Cena. I'm pretty sure those elbows were real.
Well, once Cena gets his new elbow, anyway. Well, that That escalated quickly.
So, Taker, Brock, WrestleMania 30. I predict blood.
I predict that the triangle and Kimura used in that match will be legit triangles and Kimuras.
Let's see if the Undertaker could do... You know what? I don't understand why all of Lesnar's opponents have so much trouble with Brock. All they have to do is knee him in the gut a few times. All see, they have to do is a liver kick. Punk could do a liver kick. He knows Muay Thai.
Gene?
Yeah, you have to remember, this is WWE, where Bret Hart never had a stroke.
Okay, but, you know, they acknowledge Lesnar's MMA career. The least they can do is acknowledge that he got his ass handed to him by Aleister Overeem.
And acknowledge the fact that he had also had half of his large intestine removed.
Why not? They might as well have after Triple H kneed him like 15 times in the SummerSlam match.
Speaking of such continuities, we had an interesting little bit of continuity Monday night that I forgot to talk about. Does anybody remember during that show that Dolph Ziggler made a comment that got him in trouble? That he didn't trust Triple H.
Yes, I remember.
He didn't say why.
Does he have to?
No. He doesn't have to. But I have a solid guess. If your boss stuffs you in a road case to be shipped to Louisville, you wouldn't trust him either.
I was gonna ask a question about air holes, but you're gonna beat me to it.
I'm just saying.
You know what? Considering Hunter's history, I'm gonna take a quote from Edge from SmackDown vs. Raw 2007.
Okay.
At least when it comes to kayfabe, giving Hunter power is like giving a fat kid the keys to the candy store.
Oh, yes. And it's so much fun to watch. I don't know why. Because it's the evil... I guess it's just because it is the evil boss, Dr. Levesque.
Well, I mean, I guess it's because at least he's not making himself the world champion.
Because he knows that, you know, there's... At some point, he's got to make that transition.
Yeah. Now he's and, Mr. McMahon version with, you know, without the pompadour. And better dress sense.
Yeah. At least Hunter knows how... Hunter can rock a suit.
We saw it during his Four Horsemen, I mean, Evolution days.
Ah, yes. The Hunter Hearst Horseman. Which I didn't mind.
Actually, I didn't mind Evolution much. It was the only time Orton was actually interesting.
Well, see, Orton, you know, I'm going to give Daniel Bryan this. I stood up and cheered during his promo to Orton's face. He said a lot of things that I would have wanted to say to Orton.
Wait, did he actually say anything to Orton last Monday?
He didn't because Stephanie took the mic from him and got all corporate on his ass.
Fuck you, Nipple H.
So, but Daniel was like, you hit the genetic jackpot. You know, your father was in the WWE. Your grandfather was in the WWE. You know, you were raised by the WWE. And look at you, you know. JBL acknowledged his statement that he had been making that Orton was what you would want for the perfect WWE superstar, as long as you didn't want him to talk. Oh, sorry. But
once again, he was a lot more interesting at Evolution.
He was at his best in his RNN days.
Actually, I disagree, because the young, cocky, legend killer Randy Orton, pretty good heel. But it was after his feud with Mick that it just all went downhill.
Pretty much. It was.
I guess that was just the peak.
Well, it was a little bit earlier for me when Orton won the Intercontinental title, he stopped trying.
You say that, but I don't know what you mean.
I got the feeling, and maybe it's just his wrestling style, but there's a lot of times you can watch his matches. There are times he phones it in. Well, he's just going through the motions, and not because he's a heel.
Yeah, but most of the top stars do that anyway.
Randy phoned in a Hell in a Cell match. I'm offended.
Was it the Hell in a Cell match against Taker?
No, it was the Hell in a Cell against Cena.
Oh. Well, what were they going to do in the cell?
I was hoping they'd bleed.
Cena and Orton in 2009?
Worth a shot. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to cheer anybody up because now we have to talk some TNA.
God damn it. Do we honestly have to?
Well, there's three little bits that I do need to discuss. First, some bad news for you gentlemen. SoCal Val has been wished the best in her future endeavors.
Actually, that's good news.
I was going to say, to be honest, I saw it coming when I didn't see her that often at ringside.
It's good news because at least now she can actually go make some money somewhere.
Yeah.
I got to give Jean that. I've had the pleasure. She came to Cincinnati and worked at Jimmy's show with Wildcat Chris Harris. This was after the Braden Walker stuff, by the way. And she is an absolute sweetheart. She is a very, very pleasant woman. And I hope that wherever she lands, that yes, that she gets paid well.
Maybe she can land in my bed.
Open your door, sir. Anyway, second bit of news. Jesse Sorensen has gone on the record that TNA did not pay diddly squat for his medical.
I need really? Phil to make a comment about how I feel about that.
Really? It's like, who didn't see that coming? Since when the fuck does TNA pay medical?
I know, well, it was sort of the whole PR thing with Dixie, like, oh, he'll always have a job here.
Bullshit. Right. This is the same company that that had Taylor Wilde, their women's champion, still working in a sunglass hut.
Well, yeah, we're gonna call them out on it because while they could plead, well, wait a minute, Jesse was able to get some of his bills paid because his mother has insurance. Well, that's great, but now his mother is also bankrupt. So TNA.
All right, fuck you.
You see, this is exactly why Punk keeps calling you an indie company.
Yeah, because they don't back their claims up like every, you know, like almost every other indie fed out there, where you just turn and point your finger at Dixie.
You're a lying sack of crap, and you know it.
It's like these number three TNA fans coming out and is like, oh, Punk's just hating on TNA. It's not fair. Punk's being unprofessional. No, you know what's unprofessional? A company that says that a guy has a job for life and then firing him like a year later and refusing to pay any of his goddamn medical bills.
Yeah, especially when that should be some workman's comp involved in that, since he had his neck broken on the job.
And you know what else is unprofessional? The fact that you had a drug addict perform at a pay-per-view while he was high.
While he's high.
Yeah.
You know what else is unprofessional? The fact that that one of your big stars threatened Punk, actually. Remember that tweet that Kurt Angle sent that was actually not as a result of his Twitter being hacked?
Yeah. I will say,
hide, bitch. Think about that. Kurt Angle, the guy who
think about that. That was Kurt Angle, the guy who once showered Stephanie McMahon in milk.
Go ahead.
I was going to say a lot of different people cause a lot of problems, but Dixie caused those people to be in the position to cause the problems.
Didn't she learn her lesson after having to deal with Daphne Unger?
Honestly,
apparently not.
Like I said in the 15-minute promo that is apparently lost in the ether. Wink, wink, Carl. Anyway.
More wink, wink, me. I don't think I ever gave it to Carl. Or did it? No, I did give it to Carl.
Anyway. So, here's the fucking thing. I was willing to accept that maybe Dixie was just, you know, in over her head. She might be a smart businesswoman in real life, yada, yada. She's just hiring big names because that's all she knows about the business, and the big names are in turn manipulating her. And to some extent, that's true. But there has to be a point where you have to accept responsibility for your retardation.
My issue is just the fact that they want to be the number two wrestling company behind WWE, and they can't even, you know, they can barely support what they're doing now.
They can. If Dixie could support this company entirely on her father's money for 11 years, they can afford to pay medical bills.
Well, and see, that's the thing. It's not just her parents' money. Spike is footing a lot of the bills, especially the big ones.
So then there's no real reason for Dixie to pull this shit like, oh, there's no guaranteed pay, but you'll get exposure.
Which, unfortunately, every independent wrestler will jump on to be on TV. Because if you've been on TV, you can ask for more money on the indie circuit.
However, as people like Bryan Danielson proved, you can be hired by WWE without ever having appeared on TNA television.
Admitted. And just for that, though, remember, Punk had a cup of coffee with TNA early, early on.
Right, but it's not like anybody acknowledges it.
No, and that would include Punk.
I mean, Tyler Black was never on TNA TV.
No.
Claudio was never on.
Yeah.
Claudio was never on TNA TV.
Dean.
Chris Hero was never on TV.
We need him on TV.
I don't think Steen was ever in TNA, was he? Or
no.
I know he's not in WWE yet, but
now he's too fat for TNA. I'm sorry, Steen. I'm a big fan of yours, but actually, you know what? You're losing weight, so good on you.
I thought that was a joke about what Dixie allegedly said to Hendrix.
What was that?
I don't know. Apparently, I don't know. I guess Taylor looked a little too big for Dixie's liking, because the rumor is that she said something like, lose some weight.
Really, Dixie? Really? So, the really? Nasty Boys, Bubba the Love Sponge, and Rosie Lotta Love were okay.
Do not even mention Bubba the Love Sponge, dear God.
Excuse me while I reaffirm something with him.
Thank you.
I think all of us, given the chance, would kill Bubba the Love Sponge if we can get away with it.
If I ever meet Awesome Kong, if I ever meet her in person, I'm going to shake her hand and say thank you for beating the shit out of that little turd.
I already did.
Thank you.
And I also said that if I had the chance, I'd have booked her as WWE champion. Fuck women's champion. She is a monster, goddammit.
And I want her back in the...
How long are we saying, why don't they push her for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah, because she was a beast, you know, compared to most of the TNA roster, and she was a hell of a threat, even with her cup of coffee in the Fed. And we do want you back. I want her back.
I just thought it was hilarious that the first thing she did was hit Michelle McCool with an implant buster.
Now,
oh, Taker's not gonna like that.
Now we know the real reason. No, actually, but let me bend your brain. Speaking of Michelle McCool, since she stole a finisher from somebody, that somebody, his contract's expiring very soon. Now, who would pay money to tell AJ Styles that there are better things out there?
Honestly, I don't. If WWE doesn't pick him up, he could always come back to ROH.
I think he'd make some good money in Japan.
Yeah.
I would pay. I would think the Japanese would pay a lot of money for AJ Styles versus Drake Younger.
Actually, I think it would make more money in Mexico, just because his style fits. Fits Lucha a little more than Strong Style.
Okay.
Heck, I do want
to say... One thing to mention is that I seem to recall, like, while watching on whatever Justin TV thing it was while it was still running, that AJ actually was in WWE for a brief stint. I know he worked a match against S.A. Rios on Heat.
I think Samoa Joe did as well.
And I believe AJ might have even had gotten a chance. I might be pushing it. He might have even gotten a shot near the end of WCW. I might be misremembering, though.
No, I think that was... who the fuck was it?
I think James Storm was in WCW at some point. Or was it Chris Harris? It was definitely one of AMW.
So.
I miss AMW.
Yeah.
But yeah, AJ Styles' contract is up soon. Now, he's a day one TNA guy.
He's one of the few that was indeed there since its inception. Most everybody else has left.
And some have come back. Daniels.
I don't know why.
Because considering... they let him play Curry Man for a year. Come on.
I don't know. It's like I don't know. I don't think Daniels needs TNA.
TNA needs Daniels.
Yeah,
sure.
They
need all the talent it can get.
So,
mind you, even with all the talent, they still have no idea what the fuck to do with them.
Precisely. So, I'm going to go around the table real quick. VRM. Not a prediction, but what do you think, AJ, what do you think is going to happen with Styles and TNA and or WWE?
Well, considering that they just dropped the emo gimmick, like literally they dropped it like it was hot on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back to normal AJ.
Yeah, what was the point of emo AJ?
I don't think there was one.
Good point. Smash! Oh, wrong AJ.
What the?
Wrong AJ. That was AJ Lee making fun of Caitlyn and her muscles.
And her spectacular rack.
But, but I think if TNA wants to keep him, they need to give him a title shot again.
And soon.
Yeah.
Fourth, what do you think?
I definitely think that if TNA wants him to stay, like VRM said, they got to give him a shot or give him a run with the belt. Because if not, if you remember the shoot comments he made, I think it was 05 about Hogan, he might just make those comments again.
Mm. Gene?
AJ did shoot comments on Hogan?
Yeah, I think he basically said something to the effect of read the death of WCW and you'll see what Hogan will do.
So where was this for the past 3 years?
Buried in Spike TV corporate.
I don't know. You know what? Actually, as long as we're talking about Hogan, I don't know if it was mentioned last week. Because I was off watching Kick-Ass 2.
Is that any good?
Yes, it's a really entertaining movie. I think everybody should watch it.
All right. I saw the first one, and I could take it or leave it, but I think I will peek in on the second one. But go on.
But yeah, you know, speaking of Hogan, how fucking sad is it that he can't even keep a job in the company for his own daughter?
It was my understanding that that was a cost-cutting measure, and the Hulkster himself likes money. And if he's making money, he can give some money to his daughter. He doesn't necessarily have to have her have a job.
Well, I thought it was just more like, hey, she's on TV. She has relevance again, somewhat.
No.
Because while we can debate on and off about Hunter's ego, we don't need to debate about Hogan's ego.
No.
Because there is no debate about Hogan's ego. It's the biggest friggin' ego in wrestling.
It's an ego that has retained its size without any sort of artificial stimulant.
And that's the only thing that has retained its size with Hogan without any artificial stimulant.
Oh! Where's that button? Thank you. For AJ,
I'll be here all night.
We're not going to be here too much longer.
Yeah.
For AJ, you know, I understand the loyalty bit, and I really think he should use that as leverage to get himself a more guaranteed deal with TNA. I have a feeling we're going to get another one of those 10 minutes to midnight kind of deals like they did with Bobby Roode, where he was signing a contract at 1 o'clock in the morning, the Sunday of the pay-per-view.
And then, once again, people wonder why we call TNA an indie company. You know what, though? Even it's insulting to even call it an indie company. I've seen very professional indie companies.
I've seen a few myself, and I've worked for a couple. And this is you just don't do this shit. But if you're the number two company, if you're supposed to be the number two company, which at this point I still think is Wrestling from Hollywood at this point.
With Ring of Honor bringing up the rear.
Yeah. You have your guys signed to a solid deal. You don't pay them by appearance. You pay them annual with, you know, whatever, with whatever benefits. If they're hurt, the WWE model is that they pay 100%. They don't even bother with insurance. Vince just pays the full price because it's probably cheaper. It is next to impossible to insure a wrestler. That's why Lloyd's of London gave WWE the middle finger.
Which Mick Foley noted in his book. He apparently they were willing to insure all sorts of people except for Mick Foley.
That's because Mick Foley is the Jackie Chan of pro wrestling. He's broken everything in his body.
Yeah, Jackie Chan without the athleticism.
Something like that. But getting back to AJ, I have a feeling they're gonna have one of these last-minute deals to get him re-signed, because even Dixie Carter understands the value of AJ in her company. And if she doesn't, she's even stupider than we thought.
She's even stupider than Nipple H. And that is an accomplishment in itself.
Now, right
maybe
now,
Steph has some business sense in real life.
She has
life.
Some business sense. She just can't act worth a damn.
No. I'm sure that despite all of my comments about Stephanie thus far, she is actually very, very intelligent in real life. She It's just that she can't write worth a shit.
No, and she can't act worth a damn either. But I can tell you right now that the doc's probably got his hand hovering over his cell phone, wanting to call AJ.
And you know what, Doc? If you are going to be here on Saturday, even if it kills my career before it begins, I can say it to your face. Your wife can't write worth a fuck.
I'd be real careful with that, Gene.
Yeah.
Getting pedigreed on concrete hurts.
No, his knees are too fucked up for that.
That's true. He doesn't wear knee pads under his suit pants.
As far as we know.
As far as we know, but yeah, if the doc does happen to show up on the weekend, do be kind, shake his hand, look him in the eye.
I will do that because I do respect him. I'm just saying, I am going to be honest with him. Because I cannot for the life of me speak corporate. I'm sure I could learn how to, but I just don't want to.
No, you don't want to learn the language. Like I said, it is a very demeaning tongue. And as somebody who experiences it on a regular basis, I would never do that to somebody unless I really, really wanted to push a button. So, I think we should call this a show. Gene, please, promote this mysterious event that you think that the evil doc might be cited.
Actually, I wasn't supposed to mention the evil doc cited at all. Shit!
Uh-oh.
That was your fault, Nikki. You're the one that brought it up.
Was I not supposed to?
No.
Well, fuck.
I think we've got some editing to do.
No, that's fine. Fuck it. For all we know, he doesn't listen to this show anyway.
I hope not. I probably wouldn't be allowed to go to events anymore. Go on.
Anywho, tomorrow night, live from Queens, New York, the stars of our very own WUW, the World of Unpredictable Wrestling, will face off against the stars of CMLL. Its main event will be... hold on. I'm sorry.
Gene, apparently not marketing guy either.
I am drawing a blank right now, okay?
Don't edit this.
It's been a long fucking day. Sue me. Anyway,
it's New York. I could, but I don't feel like it, even if I've got a lawyer on retainer on the panel.
Well, you've got your uncle. That's good enough.
Yeah, you've been warned. Go ahead.
Anyway, main event. Rey Bucanero and Mystic Azteca will be facing Shocker and Buffalo Azteca. And as a special attraction, our very own Big Man Andre, who's written as Giant Andre on the poster for some goddamn reason. We need to fire whoever wrote that fucking poster. We'll be facing off against our WUW graduate, Devon Dudley, or Brother Devon, whatever the fuck you want to call him.
Reverend Devon.
Call him Devon. God damn it, Nikki. Matt Stryker will also be making a special guest appearance, as, of course, will the unpredictable Johnny Rods. Tomorrow night, La Boom. La Boom time, as Johnny would say. 5615 Northern Boulevard in Queens, New York. And also, fuck you, Dixie.
Forth, do you have anything to promote?
Just Typo Show, which I'm still trying to talk to him about getting out of the other place, but...
Like I said, we need to get the entire crew together.
Yes.
And forcibly drag him off of BTR. Oh, crap, I said it. Fuck.
Don't worry. But much like Gene said, fuck you, Dixie.
VRM, I'm sure you have a few things to promote.
Yes, since we're now in the home stretch of preview season and preseason. WrestleCraft Sports Digest wrapped up its seventh and penultimate preview with the NFC West, which means there's only one more next week, and that's for the AFC North. And then September 5th, the season begins. I think this is our fourth annual. Is it our fourth annual or is it our fifth annual at this point? I think it's our fourth annual.
I'll take a look into it.
I'll look into it, but I'm going to call it the fourth annual for now. Our fourth annual kickoff spectacular, where we will have running commentary of the Broncos versus Ravens game. I'm hoping that I can get Jim on so I can get another play-by-play guy with me. And then I'm hoping, I am texting him every single fucking day, I am hoping that a certain original panelist is able to make his return.
Well, I got
just
my
so I can show him up. As only I can.
Unfortunately, VRM, I would probably not be able to attend that kickoff because that is Labor Day, correct?
Well, it will be the Thursday after Labor Day, but...
Oh, okay. So, never mind. I was going to say, if it was going to be on Labor Day, that Monday night football game, and the following Tuesday, I would be completely unavailable. So if anybody wants to meet the niece of Paul Heyman, I will be attending Raw in Des Moines on Labor Day. I will also be in attendance at the SmackDown tapings here in Minneapolis. Somebody find me a better fucking seat.
You couldn't
My uncle's
have just,
a, what?
You couldn't have just come to New York.
I've been to New York. I've been to Hammerstein. I was almost part of a riot.
Thank you, Edge.
I've been to the Garden, where there should have been a riot.
Wait, when was this?
Rumble 08.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit,
Holy
it's
shit.
Cena.
Oh yeah. Shit, Cena.
Yeah. And I was sitting on the entrance side, so I didn't know what the hell was going on. But yeah, I was at Hammerstein. I almost had Super Crazy in my lap at the first one-night stand. I almost got killed at the second.
Actually, the second was pretty tame compared to the first one.
Dude, I was on the floor. We were looking for exits. The first one was a fucking party. The second one, we were looking for exits. One of the guys that attended the show with me almost got his chair stolen. When he got his chair back, somebody stole all his souvenirs.
Well, shit.
And anybody who showed up to this event in Orton or Cena gear was openly mocked.
As they should be.
So.
Just like that one goddamn Cena fan that keeps showing up at ROH events. Just to, you know, draw heat for himself. Eh. Fucking Mark.
So, that's probably going to do it. So, one more show in the books, gentlemen. Thank you all out there listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, part of CLW83 Network. My name is Nikki Heyman. For Forth, for VRM, for Gene fucking Aguilera, and yes, I have to introduce him that way. My name is Nikki Heyman. Good night. Good fight. See you next week.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.